morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. I think yesterday or last Sunday we read through 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and we read through verse 10. And I think it goes up to 20, so this morning we'd probably need to read 11 to 20. And then it seems to me that the discussion that we had to do with verse 14, or so somebody jumped ahead. And
yeah, Sean did.
Asked about, I hate to even say his name, you know, to say that dirty dog.
I was talking about when things happen to you. Mm-hmm. How do you know it's God or the devil, but it's it's really God.
All and in all.
Yes. Yes. But you said last week he did 14. He had questions about it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mike, would you start us off with a word of prayer, and then we'll have one of the amplified people over there read us something.
Thank you, Father, for another day and another day to gather and just learn about your word, Father. And Father, just help us to understand what you're trying to show us during this class today.
Yes.
And we give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So you want me to start? We're going to let you back up to just to 10. That's
sure,
that's
yeah.
That's a, yeah.
Kind of get the flow.
Yes. Yes, too. You are witnesses, yes, and God also, how unworldly and upright and blameless was our behavior towards you believers who adhered to and trusted in and relied on our Lord Jesus Christ. For you know how, as a father, dealing with his children, we used to exhort each of you personally and stimulating and encouraging and charging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glorious blessedness, into which true believers will enter after Christ's return. And we also especially thank God continually for this. When you received the message of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to, trust in, and rely on it. For you, brethren, became imitators of the assemblies, the churches of God in Christ Jesus, which are in Judea. For you too have suffered the same kind of treatment from your own fellow countrymen as they did, who were persecuted at the hands of the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and harassed and drove us out, and continue to make themselves hateful and offensive to God, to show themselves foes of all men, forbidding and hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles, the nations, that they may be saved. So as always, they fill up to the brim the measure of their sins, but God's wrath has come upon them at last and completely and forever. But since we were bereft of you, brethren, for a little while in person, of course, and not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great longing to see face to face, because it was our will to come to you. And I mean that. I, Paul, again and again, wanted to come, but Satan hindered and impeded us. But what is our hope or happiness? But what is our hope or happiness or our victor's wreath of exalted, triumph? When we stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus and his coming, is it not you? For you are indeed our glory and our joy. All right. We were talking about Satan and that. But Paul himself is saying here that Satan hindered him.
Yes.
So we know that he used other people. Satan did, against them, to hinder them. Mm-hmm. But still, yet when you look at it, God permitted it. He allowed it.
Yes, I actually read one translation of the Bible during the week about that, about what we were talking about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually said, the Lord, I wanted to come to you, but the Lord stopped me so that I will, for the purpose that I would not be harmed. So even if you want to say that it was Satan, whether he knows it or not, is doing the Lord's bidding.
The bidding, because he's a tool in
God's
hand.
Yes, and another thing that just really overwhelmed me when we were talking last week, and even when we were in church, we were talking about Job. And the story of Job just really, really got to me. He was at a party, and while he was at the party, a messenger came and said, all of your animals were killed. And then while this guy was still speaking, another one came and said, and your sons were at a party somewhere, and they all were killed. And I mean, one thing right after another, literally one thing right after another. Mm-hmm. And it said, and Job fell on his face and worshiped the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow.
Amen.
Wow. So that is, and he even said, should we receive only good things from the Lord?
Yes. Never blame God.
And in all of those things,
when his wife came, why don't you just curse God and die? When all
what
that
is
happening
the world
to him?
Yes. What in the world would it take for our first reaction to be to worship God?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Eventually, we would come around to it.
And then he had.
Job had great faith.
Then he had these that came and really was questioning him. They really didn't come.
Good morning.
They really didn't come to encourage.
That's right.
They questioned him as much to say, well, what is it that you had to do something for all
I
this
felt like
thing.
They were busybodies. And they needed
all,
they wanted all the dirty details of what did you do to bring this on you. Mm-hmm.
I have some kind of thought.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's just like modern life, or if it's just probably as maybe not being able to attain some big faith as a faith of Job or faith of maybe Abraham being told to go sacrifice his only son he just got.
Yes.
Or some maybe big other faith. Mm-hmm. I would not say that there are not people who have really strong faith today, but it seems like modern days, modern life and everything that's kind of like hindered so many Christians not to grow in faith and to be in prayerful all the time, to be in Bible studies, to gather with the brothers and sisters. Because when we read in the Acts, it says that they were gathering daily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they used to pray every day. And that's impossible today for many people to find the time to go gather every day. So, I have impression that those kinds of things, like maybe gathering every day or maybe being in Job's positions, and Abraham when they didn't have maybe this kind of life we have today. I'm not trying to say that, well, it was easier for them there back then, but I'm trying to say that it's kind of tough for many people, not probably everybody, for many people to kind of like grow nowadays due to so many things going on.
I could not agree more.
Yeah.
And I think this is just my opinion. The modern church teaches the gospel of blessings. And if you are not being blessed, and that's, I guess, your wrong understanding of what blessing is. All the money you could need and children would behave perfectly and all this. I mean, and that's why I think so many people put on the front when they go to church. They act like everything is perfect when everything is not perfect, And the flavor of Christianity that is spread, at least in the United States of America, is one of blessings. Oh, if you need a new plane, God gave me a plane. God this, God that. That feeling of that if you are being tried, then you have already failed.
It's a bad thing.
Yes. What have you done to cause this? And truly, the trials, it's just like it says, like in Peter, one patience brings forth understanding, and understanding brings forth this, and I'm not as good at quoting the Bible as so many are, but, the trials themselves do not show that you have failed somewhere. The trials are to make you stronger.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so,
welcoming them, like James.
Like
said.
James. Count it all joy when you come into this.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Job did. Now, he learned that from something. People back in those days had harder lives. They became more stoic.
But there was a lesson out of all of it, because God brought Job's attention to Job. And he said, "Have you not seen my servant Job? And there's none righteous as him."
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, "That's because you got me in, and got this hedge about him. Take it down and see how if he served." So he took everything from him, and he still worshipped and served him. Then he said, "Let him touch his body," but he couldn't take his life. Can you imagine how much suffering, so he had the boils and all that, and he still, but then God came to him, and what did he say to him? Where were you when he spoke to Job? Where were you when I did this? He started naming all the things God himself had done. Where were you, Job? He's questioning him. And then it comes in the end that Job said, "I've heard of thee at the hearing of the ear, but now I see you with the seeing of the eye."
Mm-hmm.
So God brought him to me, I think, even the faith that he had and how he served God, that he brought him into a deeper relationship with him and also a greater maturity in him, in God, because of what he had suffered and what he had gone through and all that was in, still in God's hands and his plan.
What does the, is it Revelations where it says, to him that overcometh, will I, any all of these things remain on the pillar, the temple of my God.
Yes.
And if there is no test, there is no overcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I think that you learn in the overcoming is that it's never by your own strength, it's by your faith in God. And that's the only growth that there is.
This is, you know, chapter 7 here. Chapter 3, rather, verse 7 says, brethren, for this reason, in spite of all our stress and crushing difficulties, we have been filled with comfort and cheer about your of you because your faith, leaning on your whole personality, on God, in complete trust and confidence. Because now you really live if you stand firm in the Lord.
Yes.
That's all. It's faith, great faith, I think it is.
And it's all from what we experience. You look at, you know, the test, the things, and it's what we're experiencing because we go through things. I think of going through the death of my son, and there was forewarning before, a preparation that God, but I don't believe it. This woman I was taking care of, she's 98. 98 at that time, and she had 5 sons, precious Christian, and she had outlived, 3 were gone. She had 2, and her first, the oldest, he was a minister. He was young when he passed, and she went through such a hard place, but I'm telling you, out of it, she ministered to me because of her experience and because of her trust in God. And I believe out of everything that we go through, as we trust and look to him and draw, out of that is deepened my relationship with God, because I couldn't have gone through it. I could not have done it without God, who has ministered to me in the midst of it, giving me poems in the midst of it. And for not just me, but how she shared with me, and then also for me to share with others. Because what we experience is not just for us. And what we've learned in it, and how we've grown in it, and how it's increased our faith and our trust, that we share with others and help them and encourage them do the same.
That's
do the same, because buddy, he's lost before me, lost his son, you know, when he was in California. And I just see that all things are not just because we're all body, you know, to be in as that. Jesus has wanted all of to be one as he is with his Father and us. And it's a learning. It's a teaching. It's it really is.
We are all one.
Yeah.
Some of us just don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see yourself as being apart from, that's always a big check for me. What do you mean? You know? We are one.
Yes.
There is. Christ is all.
I'm always amazed that Jesus said that one of the signs that will show that you are my disciple, you will love each other.
Mm-hmm.
He did not say, oh, you will resurrect people or heal people or do like big stuff. He said, you will love one another. So love is the basic of what it is to believe in Jesus.
Yeah. And you find, though, I have found that we can
come short in loving. I mean, to, when he describes loving, the love as he, because he is love. It's him in us that has to, I have found from experiences that our love only goes just so far. And it takes God to truly develop himself in us that we truly love. Because love forgives.
Mike, you shy today.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking,
okay.
In today's world, it's like a pendulum. When things are well, we're on the high end. When things are low, we're down here. Things, the trials come on. You know, and then it swings back up. And I think if you read Job, and you know, my just perception of it is that through all the trials that he was going through, in the end, he knew they were all going to be blessings. And that's where, in today's world, I don't think people look that. They, it's the trials are the big things and the blessings are the little things. I've said this many times in this church, that people miss so much stuff. They miss so much of what God is doing in your life and what he's you know, you may be putting through you through something, but on the other side it turns out it really wasn't as bad as you thought it was. You know, one of my favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. Because I have plans for you, not to harm you, but to, you know, to do for good. You know, so why would he say something like that if he was planning on beating us down? See, I just don't believe. It's hard for me today to believe that there's nothing that happens in my life. And of course, I haven't had anything really big, so that's another test that could come to me in any moment. But it's hard for me to believe that God isn't blessing me every day. I remember a time, we were in church, and I felt the Lord say to me, when you walk out the side the door today, stop and look around. Just look around and see what I've done. And it was a really pretty sunny day, and I did that, and I went, wow. I have all this, you know. All this is here every day. You know, and you guys come from a different culture, and like you were saying, the way you were raised, you know, in this country, people take so much for granted. You guys didn't. I don't think you guys took a lot for granted. I think you guys took what the Lord gave you and you used it to the fullest of its that you could, and you thanked him for it. Where here, you know, people they take stuff, eat just the simplest stuff. Oh, it's, you know. And that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to take even the simplest thing and give him praise for it. And that's the life that I try to lead. I don't always do it. Sometimes I get a little off the wall, but you know, that's all part of it. Because we're all different personalities, and with different personalities, we handle things in different manners.
That's right.
You know, but we're all brothers.
That's
We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And there should be no condemnation if one of us makes a mistake.
No.
You know? There, matter of fact, it should be just the opposite.
Exactly.
Exactly. It should be okay. You know, all right, so you messed up here. It'll be okay. Lord, just, you know, I'm just, for me, I'm just happy that every day that I have an opportunity to, I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Let me be in your will. That's all I say. You know, you just like you were saying about praying, you know. I don't sit around and pray all day. But, you know, there are many times during the day where I just sit, say just a few sentences. You know, I try and put myself in the position that I know that the Lord is with me. Not make a big deal, you know, oh, you know, Lord's with me. Here he is. He's with me today. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. How many times have I said, do be doing something, and I get frustrated and say, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to show me here, Lord? You know? And that's I think that's the life that we need to live. And I think that's what Job was actually trying to do. Why would he, Lord, you know, he was going through all this stuff and he kept praising God. You know, why would he do that? You know, and through such extreme things that he was going through. Because he knew somewhere down the line it was going to be over. And it was going to turn out the other way. You know, it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. It's still there.
When you were speaking about pendulum, it reminded me of James where it says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And that's what we mean, the pendulum. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed up and down by your circumstances. If you get tossed, it's like the tail wagging the dog. You've heard that saying. If you let your circumstances decide what your faith base is going to be, then you're doing it backwards. Your faith should always be the thing that is the head. And so let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. I don't like that. I was on a ship down in the Bahamas, and we were going over to the island. They had one of those fast-moving ships, and I'm telling you, there was not an empty puke bag on that ship. Yeah, because that. I do not like being tossed on the sea. I mean, seasickness to me is really nothing I want to mess around.
Well, you know, I read a thing one time that if you turn a light on in complete darkness, you can see it 10 miles away.
Oh,
wow. Now think about that.
Darkness can't conceal light.
What's that?
Darkness can't conceal a light.
That's right.
That's very interesting.
So think about that. You're going through something in your life, but the light is still there. Mm-hmm. Even though you may think it's far, far away,
yeah.
It's still right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's amazing. I would have never thought 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how many times do you think ships in distress have been saved by that one light 10 miles away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. God is always there. The light is always there. Always. And it's always within our sight. Our job is to make sure it's in our sight.
Yeah, you can't see in the darkness. Like, see, this room is dark. I probably couldn't see you. But when light comes up, you can see as far as you can see, you know, make things out.
That's right.
Darkness can't conceal light.
He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. No matter what we think is going on in our life, there's never a moment where that is done. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us.
And that's why he made the sun and he made the moon and the stars. Always light.
Yeah, how far away are the stars?
Million.
Think about that.
Yeah.
How far away are they? And you can see them.
So, I have it's like a question maybe or challenge for me. So, I want to ask a question about the faith and the love. So, the Bible said the faith come through when it come because we hear the word of Jesus. That's the reason the faith come in my side, because I hear the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Bible said. But if you see many people as Christian, is not have faith according the word of God, and they have many way to listen the word of God around the world until today, more than maybe before. When, but the people, if you see how the people work, how the people believe, so it's big difference according to the word of God, because many people trust their money, their degrees, their countries, different things like that. And the word of God, every day, they listen or they hear the word of God. But the faith is not breathing inside the people today. So my question may be, I was thinking maybe there is one or many things we miss to learn about how to breathe in the faith. So because it's a big issue. It's a big issue in Christianist about the faith. The people, they are very, very down about the faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I know you've been long here in America. So, when I was in Africa, I see the people, they have the faith, little faith. They go with the faith.
Mm-hmm.
They do everything through the faith.
Mm-hmm.
But here, because we are not been here a long time, but if you look, you see the people, they not really trust God for everything. No matter they are Christian. So you see, they trust in other things. They say God, they say the word of God, or they believe many things about the Bible. But if you look serious, something they do after preaching the word of God, there is different things they
yes.
do. They now practice the faith every day. So I was wondering things. Why this kind of belief or faith happening for this country where you can see many ways to listen the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we miss something,
all the people share the word of God, they have a program about the faith. So you're going to help me to understand about that.
Wow.
The second thing I said, it's the love. You said the love, about the love. Mm-hmm. So there is heaven and hell, that the Bible says, heaven and hell. So I was thinking about that. What the mean, the little means, the love of Christian or for no Christian? Because the Bible says, if you not believe, no matter God said, God is love. Yes? Jesus is love. So, but the Bible says, if you not believe, you're going to go to the hell. I don't know if you do something good, you're gonna go to the heaven, just like that. And I was wondering to think about that. What the means, the little mean, the meaning of the love of to the Christian or no Christian? If I say the love means, if we say God is the love for everybody, that means that there is not hell. Everybody are gonna go to the heaven. Means like that. I can say I love you, and if I have the good place, I'm supposed to take you there because I love you. So means love to the people not Christian means what? What is the meaning of the love for the non-Christian? Or what is the meaning of love for the people Christian? So that's my question. You can help me. I know my English is not
I
think so. That's why you
that's the question of the eternal question, isn't it?
That's
my own. I can only tell you what my opinion is. It's very, very difficult, isn't it? Because it's so basic. But the thing that gets in the way is self. They might love their brother, and yeah, we'd like to have our brother go with us, but not if it's going to put me out. You know what I mean? That selfishness. Me first, then you. It's a false Christianity. There's no place for that in Christianity, that I'm number one, because I can't be number one and be a love slave to Christ. Self has to be out of it. And a lot of it has to do with the culture. We have been taught, things have come so easily. God knows what He's doing. It's not that these people are, the people who see things that way, we all have sinned and come short, every single one of us. And the things that we learn when we give our hearts and our lives to God starts to reprogram our understanding to see truth. So many people today aren't listening to they want what can I get, because they see so much out there that they can get. Money. I need a bigger house. I need another car. I need, and that somehow it's true what I don't know if the Bible says this, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
And there's a reckoning coming, and there's a lesson to be learned, and God has his way of teaching us. It's not probably not going to be pretty, but I still think that learning that lesson is better than burning in hell. Oh my goodness.
Oh.
Where in the world did the time go today?
Well, wow. The word says that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And that was for everybody. That was before anybody was even put upon this earth, this generation, or the ones going to be after us or that were before us. I think that much of Americans, our priority is not where it should be. And it's as though we lost our first love, which is God, which is Jesus. And that's why you look at us and you look and see, you don't see the love that you read here, what it should be. But when you look at their walk and what they're doing and how they're acting and what their priority is, it's not what God describes love to be. And us. And when you're talking about, and he said he's the only way to the Father is through Christ. So when you look at different Buddhism and different religions, I know I've talked to a person that think you can come to God through any of these religions, but the word does not say that. It's through Christ who gave his life for us and as us, and that we're already forgiven. But so many people have not, they don't know that they are forgiven, and they are not receiving that forgiveness. Here's the gift, the forgiveness and the love. But, and all we have to do is to receive it. But many people don't know that, don't understand that, and are not doing that.
The truth is that that lifestyle is very empty. And even though there are people who worship that lifestyle, even through that, God has a way of showing us that, you know, maybe at the end of their lives or in the middle of their lives, what is it all about? And if you haven't invested so much in it and then have the bottom drop out and realize, I mean, when a person in that situation finally does open their eyes and realize the emptiness of what they're doing, then God can come in. And it just seems like there's so much, so many other things that men want to strive for these days. They are lovers of selves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They don't even love their own children. They don't, you know what I mean? It seems so lost, and yet God is doing a work in them through it.
Well, he says every knee shall bow.
Well,
and I don't see groups or people being lost and going to hell because he said he made hell.
I can only relate my life experience to your question. When I was raised in the church, which was the Catholic Church, I was raised with there is heaven, there is hell, and then there's purgatory. Okay. You had a mortal sin, which was really the bad, you couldn't do that. And you had the venial sin, which wasn't quite as bad. Okay? Now, if you're really a bad guy, you're going to hell. But if you're not such a bad guy, you'll go to purgatory for a while until you can go to heaven.
But real salvation is not.
But that was not real. That was not what that did for me. Is it instilled a spirit of fear in me.
Fear.
Right.
That I better be perfect or I'm going to go to hell. And then I got saved. And I come to the realization that God saved me,
exactly.
And Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins.
To set you free.
And it even says, David even said, that even if I'm in the pits of hell, you are with me.
Exactly.
So, okay, you got heaven, you got hell. What's hell? Is that a really bad time in your life where you don't, you know, you can't feel like you can't overcome it? Or is that just another trial for you to learn more about the Lord? For me, I'm not saying hell isn't real. I'm not saying that. How many people have you heard say hell on earth? You know, we're living in hell right here, right now. But what I am saying is, no matter if I'm, you know, I thought I knew God when I was growing up. I thought, I'm a good little boy here, you know. I'm a good little guy. I did all the things I was supposed to do. But I never knew the true God. I never knew my true God until I got saved. Because, you know, and you were talking about love, Robert. He said, he loves us all, no matter what. You know, even if you're the worst guy, you know, how many times have you heard it? The worst guy that you can think of, God still loves him. So
like
what does that do with your perception of hell? If this guy is the worst guy you can possibly think of, he's got to be in hell, right? But God still loves him.
Isn't it interesting though that in this day and age, in this country, the suicide rate is so high. The mass murder rate is so high. I mean, all these people who seem to have everything cannot find any reason to get up tomorrow morning. So, you know, God is doing the work. But I really think we need to talk more about that next week.
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't fully answer your question.
No, I'm sure I didn't answer the question.
It's a very
but I just know from my personal experience, I was scared to death.
Oh, well, God did not give us a spirit of fear.
No,
right.
But I was scared to death when I was young.
So where did that come from?
And even through high school, you know, you had to go to confession once a month. And you had to tell the priest all the bad things that you did. And he might remind you of some of the bad things that you did. And you know, why do I have to repent to him?
Well,
that's what I learned. Why do I have to repent to him?
None of this has anything to do with the love of God.
No.
Whether we're good, whether we're bad, what our actions are, what rules we break, because Jesus has already paid the penalty for everything that we have done and everything that we're going to do. I mean, it's because people don't know the truth. People don't recognize who they are in Christ.
That's right.
And who Christ is in them.
That's right.
But it says we've all been given the spirit, you know, to know God, but yet we're not. So many people are not being taught true religion. So many people are not being taught. They're going to a Christian church and they're thinking that they are doing everything that they're supposed to do, and yet they're being judged on, oh, that was good, oh, that was bad, oh, this was good and that was bad. None of that has anything to do with the Spirit of God and God in us and us in God.
I, I went to a funeral about a month ago, a Catholic funeral. I haven't been in the Catholic Church for 50 years. I came into church that Sunday here, and I said to Clyde, it's like I've never forgotten everything that they taught me. I'm doing all the same things I did when I was 10.
Okay,
I'm going,
it's
not who I am anymore.
To be continued next week.
You know, I mean, it's so ingrained, that, you know, you get so ingrained and stuff.
Yeah,
but it was your closest.
Let me just thank you for this discussion here today.
Yes, Jesus.
Like we said, we'll continue this and give Brother Robert clarity. Father, just let your word come forth like the bright sun, Father.
Yes.
And in you, all questions will be answered.
Yes.
And all thoughts will be cleared up.
Thank you,
Father. We thank you for this class, and we thank you for going on to the main sanctuary to hear the word of God.
Thank you.
We give you praise and glory, Father. We give you all hope in us. And I know, Father, that you will bring us forth.
Yes.
For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.